So what kind of time do I got? How can he cut into my time? I don't have no time. Thank you, Harlan. Right, guys? Nobody's answering, see? Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be here. We are continuing our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, I can't say enough how much I love you guys. I mean, it's not easy every week to do this, to go over the scriptures, you know. I mean, it's just a humbling experience to be able to teach and preach every week here at the church. So you guys have been such a blessing to me. But I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to try to, if you guys give me some time, not a whole bunch of time, not like Paul used to preach for 5-6 hours. You remember when Paul preached that one time, the guy dropped off the thing, he went down, he healed him, they went and eat, and then he preached for another 5 or 6 hours. So you guys got it good, so I won't be that long. I promise, I won't be that long. Plus, we're gonna give you lunch afterwards anyway, so praise the Lord. Go to the mighty book of Ecclesiastes. Now, there's a lot of scriptures we have to go over today, but this part, this 6 verses that I want to talk about today first, as I read them, is about certainty. Now, we know that there are things that are certain in this life, are there not? There are things that are certain. So obviously, knowing Kohelet, the preacher, you know the first thing he's going to talk about, which is certain, is what? Death. Now, you just watch this, how he says this. Well, I'm going to start in the 9th division of Ecclesiastes and go with the first 6 verses just for a second, if I may. The Bible says this, "For I have taken all this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men in their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything awaits him." So here's his observation. "It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean or for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who's afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that again, there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity, and in their hearts throughout their lives afterwards they go to the dead. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead don't know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun." So here, Kohelet here is talking about death. And I just want to muse just a little bit about this. Remember in chapters 2 and 3, Kohelet observed that death or fate comes to every individual. I mean, death comes to every individual. Basically, there's a finality in death. There's a certainty in death, is there not? So here, Kohelet, or the writer of Ecclesiastes, is saying that it is certain that man will die. Death makes no distinction between good or evil persons, between those who are wise and those who are foolish. Here in verse 9 through 6, 1 through 6, the theme appears with the key phrase, one fate. One fate happens to all. One fate happens to all. We see that in verses 2 and 3. And then there's this key phrase, Rachel, in verse 1. There's this key phrase that the righteous and the wise, all they do are in the hand of God. Everything they do are in the hand of God. In fact, Bartholomew depicts, this shows God's sovereign control, his sovereign control over all that the righteous and as well as the wise do. In fact, Longman states, these 6 verses here in the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the most, basically, the 6 are the most pessimistic in the whole book. The most pessimistic in the whole book. Because Kohelet sees death as the great equalizer. He He sees death as the great equalizer here. And acting in his mind, he's saying, if you act religiously, if you act righteously, it don't matter, Devin, because death awaits all of us. Is it not? I mean, this is just the way it is. Age, death has no respect to age, has no respect to gender. Death awaits all of us. Amen? Amen. And this is exactly here what Kohelet is saying. You see, the dilemma that Kohelet deals with, and it's also our dilemma, we cannot figure God out. Now, we know we are in God's hands, but the outcome of life, Big Al, is uncertain. We don't know. We don't know what can happen later today or tomorrow. So the outcome of life, Jim, is uncertain. And here, Kohelet is musing on that, and I say this all the time. Kohelet, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he's a deep thinker. He's a deep thinker. He's not a surface thinker. Look, and again, 2 and 3. What's the common denominator? Death. Look at verse 2. Now, verse 2 is interesting. He talks about people that offer a sacrifice or not. People in ministry. He doesn't exempt anybody. He says, look, people in ministry. Death can happen to them. So is the sinner. Both death is at the door. In verse 3, kind of, Ben, what he does in verse 3, he broadens this, the idea of death, which comes to all, because all are evil. So we see here Kohelet believes in total depravity. He says everybody's evil. It don't matter. Death is at the door. Anybody can die at any time. And we know that to be true. Up to this point, Kohelet depicts everyone will die. One fate happens for all. But in verse 6, he depicts it's better to be poor and alive than rich and dead. And he muses. Now, this is interesting. If you know the background here, he says it's better to be an alive dog than a dead lion. And you have to understand that dogs in that culture were despised, and lions, they were revered. Right? But there's a proverb here that again shows the perplexity of what Kohelet thinks. Basically, death is so awful it overshadows any quality of life, even purpose in life. So here he's dealing with this stuff. So at this point, when I was reading this text, I said to myself, man, maybe we want to call Dr. Phil or something. Because as you look at what's going on here, this is kind of gloomy. It's kind of, but at the end of the day, we have to face reality that John, tomorrow's not promised. And that's just, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And I know people, we got some people that traveled a long way today to come here, and they're saying, man, I got to come here and hear this. But at the end of the day, I'm going to get to a point in this text that this is going to challenge all of us to the core. Because the thing about Kohelet is that he's a challenging dude. And I've been saying that over the last 10 or 12 weeks. Kohelet's a deep thinker. He's not escaping reality as many do. And more important, he's not escaping God. He's not escaping reality, but he's not escaping God. In light of death, which no one will escape, there's still enjoyment in this world, and we know that all good things come from above. As James depicts in his wisdom literature, where there's life, there's hope. Keep that in your watch pocket. Now, I want to go to verses 11 and 12, because I'm going to try to... this is kind of done more in a... let me go to 11 and 12, and this I want to entitle... The certainty, Gene, of what is uncertain. Now watch this. It's kind of a sandwich text, so I'm going to go to the outer parts of the bread. You remember, Rob, when we preached in Mark back in Black Canyon, we used that sandwich, the two breads, and then the middle. So verses 11 and 12, let me use that. The uncertainty of what is, the certainty of what is uncertain. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle not to the warriors. Neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. Moreover, man does not know his time. like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared in an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. So here, before we think about 1 and 6. We just discussed 1 and 6, and according to Bartholomew Kohelet, hits rock bottom. In fact, he knows that God's love or wrath exists, and there's certainty in death. Now, hold that thought for a second. But here, Bartholomew depicts that in verses 11 and 12, it doesn't matter how swift you are, doesn't matter how fast you are in a race, how much strength you have in a battle, how much wisdom you display, how much money you have, how smart you are. All these things make no difference because time and chance can happen to all. The uncertainty of what is certain. Longman says, I was reading this, he turns around and says, no one knows when they're going to die. No one knows when they're going to die, right? Fish may swim merrily along, birds may fly effortlessly through the air, and then in a moment they're struggling in a trap, which will lead to death. And it is here in verse 12, the common denominator is death. There no one knows the appointed time that God ordained for them to die. No one knows. Your money could be here today, gone tomorrow. Whether a race in a battle, how your wisdom will take you, you don't know. Your knowledge, you think you know something, dementia could set in, and you can't remember what you know. So there's just things that happen here. Kohelet, again, is thinking deeply. But at the end of the day, as he looks at this, as he looks at the world, and he looks at the surface things, he's saying, man, if there's nothing more than this, what's the sense? What's the sense? The rich and the poor are alike. The wise and the fool is alike. And he's looking at this, and here's the problem. Here's the problem for us, Devon. We're not concerned. We as people today are not concerned about these things. We just want to live and let live. And as Christians, hopefully we have a different mindset. But as I look at Kohelet, think about the world today. Who thinks about these things? And you say to yourself, man, why do I want to think about this? This is depressing. But at the end of the day, it's life. And it's life. And how serious do we take this life? How serious do we take the God-given life that he's given us? And here, Kohelet, for me, he challenges myself because sometimes we just take life for granted. Do we not? We just take it for granted. And it's not promised to any of us. Now, so Kohelet has got a simple message here. A simple message. So what he does is, so now these things are abroad. You can see them all. But then he says, if we go to verse 7, he's going to say the simple things are best. Now watch what he does through 7 and 10. In spite of certainty, or in spite of uncertainty, he says there's an answer. He says there's an answer. Now watch this. Verses 7, 9 and 7, 7 through 10. Go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life and your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Now, think about what he's saying here. This does not answer his death question. It doesn't answer the question of death. What Kohelet is doing is giving us an alternative vision besides death. God has given us good things to enjoy, has he not? He's given us good things to enjoy. And he's saying, enjoy them. Enjoy them. He wants to widen your view. This is perspective. All is not lost. This is how we react to the enigmas in life. He's saying, there are so many things that God has given us. Enjoy them. Don't be concerned about that stuff. He says, pay attention to your appearance. Eat and drink. He says, you know, don't be oil lacking on your head. He says, enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your marriage. Work hard. Though death is still in the backdrop, we enjoy what God has given us by grace, because when it comes to death, it's out of our control. We never know when death is at the door. Now here's what I want to say with this. Here's what I want to say. If it's out of our control, is it in somebody else's control? Death. That's the question. Of course it is. It is in someone else's control. And at the end of the day, in our context, God, death is God's business. But life is also his business also. Now, and I want you to hold on to that. Now, I want you to we're going to go to verse 13. And right now, this can seem a little convoluted. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from 13 to 18. And I'm going to look at somebody that Kohelet calls a poor, wise man. And then I'm going to take the theme of time and chance and apply that to the New Testament. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Savior, is going to talk about time and chance in such a devastating way. He's going to make Kohelet look like a prosperity preacher. Listen, I'm serious. And then we're going to go to another text that's going to relate to this text I'm going to bring right now in the New Testament. So give me a chance to get around where I got to get, because this is going to bless you if you see what's happening. Now look at verse 13 through 18. Listen to this. Also this I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with a few men in it, and a great king came to it, surrounded it, constructed large siege works against it. But there was founded in a poor wise man. He delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. Listen to these words here. But wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now, I want to get to my New Testament control so I can lightly give you but I want to lightly give you what's happening here. This is an important one. As Kohelet depicts, wisdom he saw concerning this poor wise man really impressed him. This poor wise man had this wisdom, and it really impressed Kohelet. And it was this. This great king comes to this small city, and you would expect he'd come with his army. You would expect him, right, Sonia, to destroy this city, but he could not overtake it. But there was this poor man who delivered the city, right, by wisdom. But the wisdom of the poor man was despised, and all his words not heard. In fact, Kohelet depicts that this wisdom is better than strength. And Miller depicts that they still enjoyed the victory of the city. They enjoyed the victory that the wise man gave them. But they despised the wise man. Now I want to just bring that all together for you. Go to the Gospel of Luke. Go to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to come down here with you. Because let me say this rightly. We just talked about time and chance. We talked about death. And you say to yourself, man, Pastor, this is Palm Sunday, but I'm going to tell you something. I want people to contemplate exactly what's going on here. From the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, he is marking time with Kohelet. And we need as Christians to listen to his words as he speaks in the stead, basically, of Kohelet. Because you say to yourself, well, this is Old Testament stuff and it's gloom and doom or whatever. The bottom line is nobody spoke about death and hell more than Christ Jesus himself. And I want to show you what he does here. And I want to show you what a challenge this is going to be for all of us who today that may not be Christians. And this is important. And I want to tell you, I'm going to go to the 13th division of Luke. And I'm going to read five verses, go to a quick parable, and I'm going to try to wind this down as we go to our kind of Palm Sunday message, if I may. Starting in the first verse. Now, there were on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Basically, Pilate killed them. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise what? Perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise, what? Perish. So here, Jesus is speaking about time and chance. You have an historical situation in the parable we'll get to in a second, but the main crux of this is what? Concerning sin and repentance. Some people ask Jesus about an incident with Pilate, right? It's an evil act done by Pontius Pilate on these Galileans who were preparing their sacrifices to God. And Darrell Bach depicts this massacre well have been associated with Passover. We know that. But at the end of the day, so they're preparing their sacrifices for God. They're outside ready to go into the temple because Passover was the only time that lay people could prepare their sacrifices. They're preparing their sacrifices and they get what? What happens to them? They get killed. They get murdered by Pilate. So the Galileans turn around and say, they had to be worse sinners than everybody else. This can't be. Then what does Jesus say? He says, no, unless they what? Repent, they will what? All likewise perish. Then Jesus says, hey, what about the tower that fell? An accident. What about the tower that fell on the people in Siloam? An accident, driving in a car, walking. What did Jesus say? Unless they repent, they will all likewise perish. Time and chance could happen to anybody. But unless you have repented before the Lord Jesus Christ, he says you will all likewise what? Perish. So here we look at Koheleth and we say to ourselves, man, this guy, we look at him and he seems like he's kind of down and out. Look what Jesus says. Look how serious Jesus gets here. So the question, he says, are these men worse sinners than the rest? Jesus said, no. No, only repentance will prevent the debt that lasts. Jesus widens our thinking. Basically, Jesus says, unless you experience a radical change in this life, death is at the door. It's at the door. And see, for me, Devon, I want to challenge me first because at the end of the day, tomorrow's not promised to any of us, to our children, to our nephews. And here, the teachings of Christ is that, you know, don't worry about what's going on in the world. You have to be concerned what's going on in you. That's the main crux of what Jesus is saying. So now he does this by way of parable as we're trying to round this out and trying to tie in here a Palm Sunday service, if I may. Look at the parable he gives, starting in verse 6. And he began telling them this parable. A man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. The vineyard keeper says, give me one more year. Give me one more year. Let me dig around it. Give it more fertilizer. Just maybe or perhaps it will bear fruit. But as in all parables, there's a sting in the tail. Fitzamaya nails it. The fig tree will die if it does not bear fruit. It will die of inactivity. Now watch how this lines up. Look at this. This is the opposite of the two previous debts, which we have discussed. The first debt was by someone else's hands, like Pilate. The second debt happened unexpected, right? Like the tower falling on some people. This parable teaches people, calls people to repentance. It calls people to repentance, not to look at other circumstances and try to figure out what's going on in the world. The writer of Ecclesiastes, as well as Jesus, speaks about time and chance. They're all part of God's providence. We never know when death will come. What Jesus teaches here is self-examination. Now, I'm going to tell you something what's interesting in this, in the Greek text. This tree is not going to bear no fruit. That's the language. It's not going to bear no fruit. But he says, leave it alone. Let me dig for a year. I want you to know that today, we hear the gospel today. Don't wait till tomorrow, man. Because you don't know. And this parable is a stark parable. As we look at it, and I know we're saying to ourselves, we just believe that tomorrow we will wake. We just believe that everything's going to be okay next week. But at the end of the day, there's a serious teaching here that Jesus is saying, we just don't know. We don't know. And at the end of the day, we got to be careful. Me first. If we're just faking in the game, how serious do we take this? And I think what Jesus is doing here, he's putting us all on notice. And you can say, well, you know, why do it's necessary to hear this? Because at the end of the day, for me, we have to know that our life and our breath, and at the end of our life, is not what this is about. Because at the end of the day, if death comes, my question is me first, where are we? Where are we? That's the question. That's the question. And it's a serious question, because at the end of the day, according to the Word of God, time and chance can happen to anybody. At any time, at any minute. Now watch this. Go to the 12th division of John. I spoke about time and chance. Now I want to talk about the poor wise man. And I want to line it up with this text in John, if I may. Go to the 12th division of John. Now watch this. I'm going to come down here. Starting in the 12th verse. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, and began to shout, Hosanna, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and they had done these things to him. I want to close here with a point or two, if I may. We've discussed time and chance, have we not, Florence? We've discussed time and chance. The Bible says time and chance could happen to anybody, and we connected that to our New Testament control, right? But what about the wisdom of the poor man? Remember Kohelet was speaking about the wisdom of the poor man who delivered the city with his wisdom despite not getting any recognition? Do you remember that man who did not get any recognition? Who was despised? He didn't get no recognition. He was despised. So here is the God-man of no reputation riding on a lowly donkey that will eventually defeat the prince, the power of the air, who tried to usurp or deceive the world. But Christ's words are not heeded. They're not heard. Here he comes riding, a man of no reputation, riding on a lowly donkey. In fact, he is forgotten by many, even today. And with this triumphal entry had started by way of prophetic utterance by the prophet Zechariah, he, Christ, is the ultimate victory which would get accomplished on the cross by way of the death and eventually secured in his resurrection. The question is, how much are we taking heed to this poor wise man who was the God of the universe? Because this same God in Christ that was walking down when they were waving the palm branches at him was the same God in Christ that a week later they said, crucify him. So my question is to me first, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Where are we in this? As the writer of Ecclesiastes thinks about all this, but you see, Christ gives us the same challenge. And then as he walks 2,000 years ago, a week from Easter Sunday, he walks and people are praising him and waving palm branches at him. And then a week later, Carolyn, they're yelling, crucify him. And that's the question. That's a challenging question for all of us. Because at the end of the day, we know tomorrow is not promised. We've said that. We've beat that down enough. We know that. The problem is, where are we? How important is this to all of us? How serious do we take this? There's never a better time now to contemplate our own lives, to stop being surface thinkers. Coming to church is not going to save you. Coming to church is not going to save you. Only Christ and Him crucified and resurrected and being trusting in a sovereign God of the universe. See, my question too is, what are we doing with this knowledge? If we are truly God's people, are we sharing this? A man of no reputation, Rob. A man that was despised, that was spit on, that they put a spear in his side. But you know what? They couldn't kill him. They thought they can kill him. So my question is, how important is this to us? This is Easter season. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is a time that we look at the Scriptures, and it's a time that we preach. Listen, if you come to this church, we preach the gospel every Sunday, Devin, every Sunday. We beg people to repent and believe the gospel. Because I know people that have been in prison. Talk about a Freudian slip, right? But I talk about people that have been in church for years. But at the end of the day, are they rightly related to Christ? The man of poor reputation. And I look at him, and as he walks down, and they're yelling, Hosanna in the highest. peace on earth, whatever. They're saying, Hosanna in the highest. That man was despised. He was forgotten. And you know what, Rachel? He's despised and forgotten today. And I'm telling you, he went lowly to that grave, but he's coming back like a warrior. He's coming back like a warrior to deliver his people. Now, I want to show you this. I want to just touch on this for a second, if I may. Though he is forgotten by many, even today, it is Christ's ultimate victory that would get accomplished on the cross by way of death. What a God in Christ we serve. But you know what? You know what we did today? We celebrated that specific event in baptism as Heather and Phoebe were buried in baptism in his death. They were both raised in newness of life. So because of what happened on that cross, we are no longer realistically in the hands of time and chance. See, if you're a Christian today, you are not in the hands of time and chance. Kathy, we are in the hands of a loving Savior who died and took the sins of his people. Praise the Lord for that. Kathy, time and chance. Mom is not in the hands of time and chance. As our sister Mary is now at least in rehab, and we love her, and we've been... But she's not in the hands of time and chance. Devin, man, if you're a Christian today, you're not in the hands of time and chance. But if you're not, Florence, you know tomorrow's not promised for any of us. Happy Palm Sunday. May the Lord bless and keep you and shine his light upon all of you. And man, I'm telling you, if you don't know our Savior, I can't open up nobody's eyes. Only God the Holy Spirit can. I can't open up nobody. I can't force nobody to believe. All I can do is give the message. And this is a message straight from our Word of God. If man... Think about life. It's not promised. Ashley, Jean, happy Palm Sunday. Thank you so much for doing all this work today. Let us stand.